Listening to sermons as we go about our days, driving around or doing our work, is a perfect reminder of our Lord's promises and of His mercies. This is the mission of Upper Room Media: to make the Word of God accessible to anybody and everybody.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. So today's gospel is one that we are very familiar with. It's one of the most famous miracles in all of the scripture. It's actually mentioned in the four gospel accounts, which, as you know, that's not necessarily the case with all the miracles that Jesus did. So this is a very, very famous miracle and an important miracle. And it's actually a reading that we read throughout the church calendar, but at different times and for different reasons. Today's passage, while we've read it before, the church wants us to highlight something specific in today's reading. And the reason we know that, and the reason that I can confidently say that, is based on the surrounding readings, right? Usually, like, we read, like, the gospel reading, but we know, like, what the Vespers reading is about, what the Matins reading, what the Psalm is saying, and that's kind of the point of today, is I've read the story a million times, you've read the story a million times, but what is God trying to tell me today? What am I trying to take with me today? As I was doing the readings, the theme that kept coming up over and over again, I'm sure it's not the only theme, but the one that was just right in my face, you'll hear it for yourselves. I'll read the psalm again, and then we'll talk about the rest of the readings. The psalm says, "Give to the Lord, O families of the people. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth." Word we hear a lot there is give, 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 and bring an offering to the Lord. And then at the end, there's something tied to worship. There's like an offering, and that's somehow tied to worship. The theme of today's readings is all about offering or giving to God. And that shouldn't surprise any of us, because if we've read the scripture at all, and usually the Old Testament parts that we skip over, okay, there's a lot written in scripture about offering and sacrifices. The idea of giving was throughout all of the Old Testament, and it was constantly, you know, reiterated over and over and over and over and over again, and it was always tied to worship, this idea of giving and worship. And if you asked a lot of scholars, they would categorize, like, the sacrificial system of the Old Testament into, like, five categories. We won't go through all that detail today, but there's, like, five categories of sacrifices, and then there's actually three different categories of tithing. Did you know? There's like three different occasions where people would tithe. It wasn't like just like one occasion. So this idea of giving or sacrifice was constant. And we actually read about the first occasion of tithing today with Abraham and Melchizedek in the Pauline epistle. So again, the church is reminding us or reiterating for us this theme of giving and sacrifice. Question I have for you. All this stuff about sacrifice and offering. Who cares? Why does God stress this sacrificial system so much? And why is it such a big deal in the Old Testament? Is it like an Old Testament thing? It doesn't apply to us anymore. Who cares? Why do we care about sacrificial system and offering and giving? Why? What's the big deal? Any guesses? Why do we care about offering? Why do we care about sacrifices? It's almost painful details that we get in Scripture. Did you know that other cultures in the surround, like the other cultures surrounding the Israelites, also had offering systems? They also had sacrificial systems. They would offer to their pagan gods. They would sacrifice to their pagan gods. Is it just the same thing? Like, was just one copying the other? Is it the same thing? It's definitely not the same thing. Okay, the sacrificial system is not the same thing. The main difference, when we read about sacrifice in the Old Testament, it's done for a specific purpose. The purpose of the pagan gods and that culture, they would do it to appease the gods. Okay, like the pagan gods in their minds, we would sacrifice to get favor with the gods or to appease the gods. That is not at all the way we offer to God or that they offer to God in the Old Testament. We might read it like that sometimes, but that's actually not the point. The point is twofold. The first point is to learn to be givers. Okay, learn to be givers naturally over time. And the reason that God wants us to learn that is because He wants us to be like Him. Not only was the sacrificial system done so that we could learn to be givers, But one that he would give himself, we would recognize it. Oftentimes, when we hear about giving and offering to God, we think of like material possessions, like we give of our X. Like back then, they had like the animals and the blood of the bulls and the goats and the whatever. Like we think of that stuff. Today, we think of like our money or maybe even like our time, which is great. Like we sacrifice that way. But the material possession of sacrifice or offering, that's the lowest form of sacrifice. That is the lowest form of sacrifice. That was never the goal. The goal was never to say, oh, you accomplished this, okay, you're good to go. The point was that the material would lead to something much, much deeper because God works with us tangibly because we're tangible beings. And if you don't believe me that it wasn't just all about material possessions, listen to some verses I pulled up here. One is Christ in the Gospel of Matthew, and the other is from Isaiah. Okay, so I'll read the one from the New Testament first. Jesus says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former." What is Jesus saying there? Just because you did one doesn't exclude you from the other. In fact, one is more important than the other. You should do both, but one is more important. You neglected justice, faithfulness, mercy. In Isaiah, it's God speaking, and he says the following. He says, "The multitude of your sacrifices, what are they to me? I have more than enough burnt offerings, more than enough of rams and the fat of fattened animals. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. Stop bringing meaningless offerings." Very blunt, very clear. And then later on, as well, we see in, or not later on, but also in the Old Testament in Samuel, the prophet, he tells King Saul, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as obeying in the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams." And that's when King Saul decided to go rogue, okay, and do the sacrificial thing himself. What is God trying to teach us through all this stuff? There's sacrifice, there's offerings, there's the system. It's so precise, it's so detailed. But then we hear kind of almost the exact opposite. Like, is it important or is it not? It for sure is important, or God wouldn't go through those painful details with the Jewish people. But it's important for not for the reasons that we might think. We think bringing an offering to God or sacrificing something to God is just like a obligatory thing, something that we just must do because God says we do. And we, again, like we think of like our material possessions or whatever it may be. But that is not what God is after. That is never what God is after. And we see that today with a lot of the readings. So the first reading that we saw today is the 5 loaves and 2 fish that we just read. And that reading is one of my favorite readings. And my favorite part of that reading was when Andrew comes up and he says, "Oh, by the way, there's a kid here with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Like, there's a million people around." He says, "By the way, there's a kid here with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And realizing how ridiculous that offering is, he immediately retracts his statement. Like he says, "By the way, there's a kid here, 5 loaves and 2 fish. What are they among so many people?" Like it's almost like the disciples all looked at him and like, "Are you crazy? Like, are you out of your mind? What does that mean?" But it's showing us that the offering has nothing to do with, or at least it's not, the goal isn't the material. God doesn't need the material. But God does want an offering. God always wants an offering. And that's why he says today to them, "You give them something to eat." It's very easily that Jesus didn't need the 5 loaves and 2 fish. He could have done the miracle himself. What was offered today wasn't just 5 loaves and 2 fish, wasn't just material. What was offered today by the boy and by Andrew is faith. And even as weak as the faith may be, as moment as it comes out, he retracts it, but he offered faith. He says, "What do you guys have?" And he says, "I guess we have something. Here it is, Lord. What can you do with this?" He thought, you know, maybe. Who knows? In the Vespers Gospel, we read about a man who was a nobleman. Like, had a lot of material things. And he offered something. He wanted his son healed, and he offered something. No material thing could have healed his son. He couldn't offer a material thing. That wasn't what God required of him. God requires different offerings from all of us. from him, he did not require a material thing. He required that this nobleman, this person who is a high status in society, what he required from him? Ego, pride, dignity. He didn't care. He went and he asked for help. He went and he asked for help from the master, knowing, I have nothing. I'm this, you know, I'm a nobleman. I have all these things. All that amounts to nothing. I need to go to the king. What he offered was much more than a material. And in the Acts reading as well, you may have missed it, but St. Paul offers something to God, and in return gets something in return. And in return he gets something great. He offers his fears to God, and in return he gets courage. That's why God is telling him, do not fear. This idea of offering is essential. And like I said, it's connected to worship. Every time we come and we worship liturgically here in the church, that's all we're doing. We're not coming as passive participants. We're coming. We have to offer something, and we're going to get something great in return. But we have to offer something. God desires that we go deeper. And the question for all of us, every time we come to liturgy, and maybe today, if this is the first time you're going to practice this, we're all going to do it together. What am I holding on to? What have I not yet offered to God? What is it that I have not offered yet to God? And today, when we're praying, when we're expecting something great at the end of the service, the greatest thing at the end of the service, I have to be willing to offer something to God. And maybe, like the nobleman, I have to offer my ego. Maybe there's something inside of me that I'm offering to God that I need help with my ego. And maybe there's somebody I haven't forgiven. I need to offer that. Maybe it's my fears, like with St. Paul today. Maybe God is calling me to do something great that I haven't done, and I know he keeps nagging at me, nagging, and telling me to do this, and I haven't done it. Maybe it's the fear of the unknown. I find myself always worrying. I know people who have like kids and family and stuff. I find ourselves always worrying. Maybe I'm offering my worries today to God and asking for peace. Maybe it's my bitterness or ungratefulness or whatever. You can fill in the blank. If you refuse to offer something to God, he's not the one missing out. God, like we just read, God doesn't need the sacrifice. The sacrificial system was never for God, believe it or not. And it was counterintuitive. It was never for God. It was for us from the beginning. It was always for us. The pagan gods are about taking. Our God is always about giving. In every single thing that we do, even when we give, he's actually the one giving to us. The greatest offering is actually done by God himself when he offered himself for us, for our sins. And we read that in the Matins Gospel as well. We oftentimes think that the effort we put in or the material offering or whatever offering we put in is we're giving something to God, as if God is like in need of something. When the reality is, God is telling us, you give to me, so you learn to let go, and then you learn to take me in. Let go of everything else and take me in. Every time we come and we're attending liturgy, and I know we sometimes go through the motions, everyone does, we all get distracted. But the message for us today, and every time we come to the liturgy, is that we are offering something to God, and he's exchanging that offering with something else. And the more we're able to let go of things in us, the deep things in us, the more he's able to fill us and fill us and fill us. So today, bring an offering to God. Bring something great to God. And whatever, and it may look silly, and you're like, how can I offer something negative and expect something positive? That's kind of how it works. 5 loaves and 2 fish, that's not even really a positive. That's kind of like an insult. Among so many people. That's kind of how it works. Offering and worship were always connected, and they remain connected here in the New Testament in the church. Because what we do every time we gather together is we offer something to God. And yes, there's the bread and the wine. That's the material. But how much is the bread and wine worth versus offering my anger? Offering my anxiety, offering whatever I have to God so that he would heal. That is what worship is essentially all about. It's that uneven exchange. It's an exchange that doesn't make sense. And that's what we're here to do today. So with that, I'm going to repeat what the psalmist says one more time. And in your mind today, while we're going through the liturgy, that's what I want you to be thinking about. What am I offering to God? What is it that I have to bring today to the table? I know I'm going to receive something way greater. My offering is not worthy, for sure, but I have to offer something. Here's what the psalmist says again. Give to the Lord, O families of the people. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. And glory be to God forever. Amen. Blessed.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart. And we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.